Thank you, Gary. It is good to be here. It's always good to be here. It's good to see each one of you here today. The title of my sermon is, What Does God Require From Us? What does God require from us? And obviously what I have today is not everything that He requires, but it's some things that I think are very important. And we'll talk about that a little later. But first, I'd like to talk about our missionary fields. This year, Brian and I have traveled to Canada, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Ethiopia, Poland, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Last weekend, we were in Canada at the Brant Norfolk Local, and they're doing well up there. It is an older congregation. There are very few young people, but their government has been very restrictive, especially through COVID, of having any type of service or contact with the people. And we actually had a potluck last Sunday, and that is the first one they've had since COVID. And they had just recently passed, they had a health inspection where they came and checked the dining area, and they passed that. So they gave them the right to hold potlucks again. For those of you that have never been up there, they're in a very interesting building. It was built in 1892 with the stained glass windows. I mean, it's really a classic building. But with that comes a lot of maintenance issues that they're dealing with. In Kenya, we were able to have a priesthood meeting and several regional services. And one of those services, we had 180 people in attendance, which was very good to see. They currently have 8 ministers there, and it's a place where we have to continually renew our work permits and our resident ID cards. It's a continual process. It seems like we're always working on it, but it is a requirement of the government. If we're going to function there as the Church of Christ, so we have to have these documents. And, you know, recently we have been getting alerts from the U.S. Embassy for the last, pretty much all this year. And the first ones we were getting were protests. They've been protesting some of the new laws in that country. And they marched down the street by the thousands. In fact, the last time we were there, we almost drove right into one of those. We were just a couple blocks away where these people were marching down the street. But I got something on September 13th this year, which is somewhat troubling. It says, the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi reminds U.S. citizens in Kenya that they should exercise increased caution due to the risks of terrorism and kidnapping. And you know, we have always thought of Kenya as a safe country. But maybe not anymore. We'll see. In Tanzania, we also had a priesthood meeting and some regional services. And the problem we have in Tanzania is we were supposed to have a work permit, but we have not been able to obtain one because we do not have a seminary degree. That is what they require for you to get a work permit. In Uganda, we have one minister and one congregation, and we were able to hold services with them. And he had recently baptized some new members into the church, and he's a priest, so we were able to have the laying on of hands for the confirmation for those new members. In Ethiopia, we have been unable to travel outside of the capital city of Addis Ababa for several years. And their terrorists have been kidnapping people and holding them for ransom. And I guess you probably know the rest of that story if the ransom is not paid. And we've been able to bring some of our members into Addis Ababa and hold services there with them. You know, the U.S. government, the State Department, has 4 levels of risk for U.S. travelers. And Ethiopia is a level 3 reconsider travel. And the four levels are, number one is exercise normal precautions, the United States. Number two is exercise increased caution if something's going on. Number three is reconsider travel. There are serious risks to safety and security, and travel should be avoided. And number four is do not travel. And we have to remember, this is a level three, and we have to remember that we have people living there. I'm sure Brother Andrew has been to a number of countries that are level four, do not travel. Of course, he has been prepared for that. We've also heard the stories of the trouble that goes on there. So we see that in Ethiopia, there is that risk to us, but to the people, there's always a risk there. People are arrested for any reason. There is never a day in court. They throw you in jail and they release you when they want to. And they could keep you there forever. It's not a democratic in any way, shape, or form. It's basically a dictatorship. There's always conflicts going on there between the government and these rebel forces. And if you're in the area, we have actually had some of our members that were in the area when this was going on, and they were actually shot and killed by the government. Because they just, you know, if you're in the area, you're considered to be part of these rebel forces. They don't ask questions. They shoot first and ask questions later. And we have to renew our work permits there every year and our resident ID cards every year. And it's a long process. It takes a week and a half to do. And again, if we don't have these documents, we cannot function there as a legitimate Church of Christ. Next week, Brian and I are supposed to be going back there to Ethiopia. We'll have these services, bring the people in, and work on these work permits and resident ID cards again. I would ask that you would pray for the calling of ministry in Ethiopia. There are currently no ministers. And here a few months ago, some of our brothers were meeting together and they were fasting and praying over the calling of ministry. And Kobar, our leader there, has asked in this next trip to give them a lesson on what they needed to do to prepare for the calling of ministry. And after these services, they're again going to start meeting together, these brothers, and fasting and praying for the calling of ministry. So I would ask you to keep that in mind for those brothers there. We were able to travel to the Democratic Republic of the Congo for the first time in several years. There have been a number of issues that have caused us not to be able to go there. COVID was one, the inability to get visas, the problem getting a visa, and among other problems. They are also level three, reconsider travel. We have one minister there, and he currently has four congregations. And we fly into a place called Lubumbashi, which is in the very southern part of Democratic Republic of Congo. And these four congregations are around that city, but they're quite a distance apart. So he is very busy. And while we were there, we were able to establish one new local and three new missions, which was a great thing to see. We traveled to Poland in February. And we met with a man who Buzz Brickhouse had been corresponding with for some time. And this man was wanting baptism. And we actually were able to go there last year, but in the middle of our trip there, he was called into military service. So we were not able to continue with our meetings with him. So we went again in February. And you know, we talked to him in quite a bit of detail, and he'd been kind of affiliated with other restoration churches, and he knew that some of the things they were teaching were not true, were not gospel. They were not they were not doctrine, and so he was not happy with that. And he had a lot of good answers to our questions. And like we said, that Buzz has been working with him for some time. But the day we were planning to baptize him, and he was going to meet us in town, and Brian got a text from him, and he wanted to know what kind of clothes he was supposed to wear for the baptism. And Brian said, "Well, you're whatever, you know, whatever you want to wear." And then he asked, "Well, what about the ordination service into the ministry?" And Brian said, "Well, you know, you have to be called by God and, you know, explain to him this situation." And apparently in all of Buzz's correspondence with him, this little part had been missed, obviously. And, you know, in these other restoration churches, you wear special clothes for your baptism. And you were ordained to be a minister. So since then, he has cut off all correspondence with us, which I, you know, it's a good thing that we found out that and did not baptize him. But so we have no intentions of returning there at this time unless we get other contacts. In November, we will travel to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and this will be our first Middle East missionary trip. And the reason we're going there is some of our members in India have moved there and are currently working there. And our leader who was in India has also moved there. And we have, it would be nice to be able to meet with some of our brothers and sisters, because we have not been able to go to India for several years. Their government is trying to implement a Hindu-only religion. And they're not just persecuting Christians, they're persecuting all other religions. My understanding is there's actually 200 million Muslims in India. But they want to be Hindu-only. So we have not been able to obtain a missionary visa. It is a very complicated process, and we have to get a number of documents from India before we can even apply from that. And they have not been able to obtain those documents. So at this point, I don't know. It's in the Lord's hands. I don't know if we'll ever be able to return to India. Like I said, that's in the Lord's hands. At this time, it's not possible. But we're able to go there into Dubai and meet with some of our brothers and sisters. It'd be a new experience for us. After the first of the year, we plan to travel to Saudi Arabia to meet with a man that Buzz Brickhouse has corresponded with for several years. And Brian is now corresponding with him. And he is also requesting baptism. And he is actually from Egypt, but he is currently working in Saudi Arabia. And he said that it's actually safer now to travel to Saudi Arabia than it is to travel to Egypt. And of course, both of these countries are level 3 reconsidered travel. That's kind of a brief summary of some of the things that's going on in our missionary fields. Some of the things we deal with on a regular basis. But I want to now talk about what God requires from us. And I want to start by talking about creation and why God created us. Do you ever think about that? Why are we here? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So, we see that we are created after the likeness of God. Created man in his own image. So we see that, God and Christ will be in our image. Of course, we know that we are mortal beings, and we know that they are spiritual beings. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we see we were created for God's pleasure. And it pleases God when we serve him and follow after him. And he wants that relationship with us. But when we sin, it displeases God. It grieves him, and he is sorrowful. We know during Noah's time in the flood, obviously all but eight people displeased God, didn't they? And they were destroyed. We were created for his pleasure. He has that love for each one of us. Alma 14, 126 and 127. "Yea, blessed is the name of my God, who has been mindful of this people, which are a branch of the tree of Israel, and hath been lost from its body in a strange land. Yea, I say, blessed be the name of my God, who hath been mindful of us wanderers in a strange land." Now, my brethren, we see that God is mindful of every people in whatsoever land they may be in. He numbereth his people, and his bowels of mercy are over all the earth. God is mindful of everybody out there. He's mindful of every person on this earth, 8 billion, I think. He is mindful of them. And he has a love for them, that great love for them. And he wants them to come unto him and to be with him. We see in Noah's time that God was mindful of Noah, wasn't he? The eight people that were righteous, and he saved them. They were saved in that ark. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "Nevertheless, a foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He knows those that are his. During the flood, he knew those eight that were his. And he knew the others weren't. It is the same today. He knows those that are his. He is mindful of them. And it says here that if we are going to be a follower of Christ, if we nameth the name of Christ, which when we enter those waters of baptism, we named his name. We are here to represent him here on earth. It says we are to depart from iniquity. That must be the desire of our heart. Moroni, chapter 7, verse 52. "Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him." God the Father and Christ have that pure love for all mankind. During the flood, God had that pure love for all mankind. But all but eight were disobedient. And there was a punishment for that. They want all mankind to spend eternity with them. We know that's God's desire. He has that love for us. They want us to have a relationship with them. But there are things that are required if we want to spend eternity with them. We need to start by having this pure love in our hearts. It says here in verse 52, we just read it, cleave unto charity, hold on to it tight. Like the rod of iron, the word of God, hold on to it. Hold on to this charity. It says it is the greatest of all. It sounds important, doesn't it? For all things must fail, but charity, the pure love of Christ, it endureth forever. And whosoever possesseth it at the last day, it shall be well with them. We must have that pure love of Christ in our hearts. I see I have the attention of a little guy here. I wait. That's my grandson, for those out there and watching live streaming. 3 Nephi, chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. You should feel very fortunate to be sitting in this building today, because you have found it. The numbers are few that are going to follow after Christ. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 24. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that do the will of the Father. We have a perfect example of that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. It says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. God condemned them. They were saying, Lord, Lord, weren't they? Look at me. I've done this and I've done that. To be seen of man. Today, I can assure you that there are many people who proclaim to be Christians. And there are probably millions of them sitting in a church today who are saying, Lord, Lord, here I am. But they are supporting all of these evils of the world. They are going to be like those Pharisees. They are not following after God. We must be cautious of that. There's so many things going on in this world that are evil. We can't get caught up in that. It will lead us to destruction. The Lord is warning us here. He is warning us. He's telling us, you've got to serve God. You can't just say you are you have to do it.
No.
Whoso hears these things and doeth them, you have to be a doer. We first have to hear it, but the hearing is not going to save us. We have to be a doer. And if we do, we are built upon a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ, that firm foundation that will lead us to eternal life. Mosiah chapter 1, verses 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if you yield it to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. We see Adam and Eve, when they were created, they walked with God in the Garden of Eden, didn't they? He was there with them. But this scripture explains what happened. The natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam. From that time on, there has been that separation between man and God. Some people say men are all born good. There's, you know, that's a question a lot of people have. Are men born good or evil? A lot of people think they're born good. This says they're not. The natural man is an enemy to God. Something that we must overcome. But it tells us how to do it here. But if ye yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what guides us and directs us. I am speaking words to you today. But it is the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth of these words. Listen to it. It will lead you and guide you. If you yield it to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man, this is something all mankind has to do if they want to have eternal life with the Lord. Putteth off that natural man and become a saint through the atonement of Christ. To become a saint, a follower of Christ. That's what we must be, a follower of Christ. And it talks about that we must become as a little child, and it tells all these good characteristics of be submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit all things that will be inflicted upon us in this world. We will have trials and tribulation. That is part of life. We can't let them bring us down. Mosiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people, if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our heart, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. Here's a very important requirement. We must have a change of heart. And it goes with that verse we read earlier, that we must put off that natural man. We must have a change of heart. The natural man is an enemy to God. We have to have that change of heart. that our disposition is to no longer do evil, but to do good. That must be what is in our heart. That must be the desire of our heart. In verse 8, it says, "And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters." We must make a covenant. When we are baptized, we make a covenant, a promise. That's what we're saying. We're promised that we will serve God all the days of our life. That is our covenant with him. And he has promised us to bless us, and that Holy Spirit will be there to guide us in our lives. The scriptures clearly tell us that we must have faith, repentance, and baptism. Very simple, basic things. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Impossible to please the Lord without faith. Kind of a beginning, isn't it, of our spiritual lives. We must believe without seeing. And I have never seen the Lord. In a dream one time, a spiritual dream, I saw an image that was forming into a spiritual being. I don't know. I was never revealed to me who that was, and it never fully came into focus. But I have not seen the Lord, but it is easy for me to believe, to have that faith, because I have felt that Holy Spirit. I have felt it working in my life. I know the Lord exists. It says, by faith, this is a perfect example to me, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Noah building an ark for, I think it was 60 years. Does anybody remember how long it was? It was a long time. Can you imagine this man building an ark out here in dry land and the persecution he received? All this time he's out there diligently working, building this ark. Why? Because he had faith. He believed. The Lord told him what was going to happen. And he was diligent and he remained faithful for all of those years. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We must repent of our sins in a humble and sincere manner. But first, we must confess our sins. Lord, I sinned. I did this. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And we know he is faithful to forgive us if we come to him in that humble and sincere manner. The scriptures tell us that our sins will be cast into the sea if we repent of them, and they will be remembered no more. They are gone. We must be diligent all of our lives in repenting. 3 Nephi, chapter 5, verse 34. "And whoso believeth in me and is baptized the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. That believe in me, have faith in Christ, and are baptized. We see that this is a requirement. It says the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. We see that baptism is a very important, it is a critical part of our spiritual lives to make that covenant with God. To make that promise to serve Him all of our days. But we see that in itself is not enough. We must remain faithful. We must endure to the end. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on here. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And if we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and it says, With all thy strength. So this is how we are to love God. I love God. It's much more than that, isn't it? It's got to come from our heart. It's got to be sincere. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is our whole being. We must give Him our all. We must put Christ first in our lives. And we know the second commandment is like unto it, the to love thy neighbor as thyself. In John chapter 14, verse 15, If ye love me, keep my commandments. The last scripture we're saying, thou shalt love the Lord. This is a way that we can show that we love Him. Is to keep my commandments. And when we keep the commandments, we have to keep all of them. We can't pick and choose. I can guarantee you this nation of 300 and some million people, tens of millions of them are picking and choosing which ones they're going to follow. I can do this. I don't like this. They're doing it. Millions of them. We talked about it earlier. The ones saying, Lord, Lord. They're not following the commandments. They're following some of them. We have the Ten Commandments, which is a little summary of them. You know, the Lord didn't say, well, I'll keep four or five of them. He said to keep the Ten Commandments. We must be diligent in that. Be mindful of that, that we are to keep all the commandments. 2 Nephi chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. For if you would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save it in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Obviously, the evil spirit is going to teach us not to pray. They don't want to have a relationship with God, does it? Satan, he's trying to lead us completely away. But the Lord is telling us that we must pray. We must pray always and not faint. It says, before you perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place, ye shall pray. Pray over everything in your life. Nothing's too big or nothing's too small for the Lord. We need to pray diligently over everything. This is how we communicate with God. It is an important, it is a vital part of our relationship with God. It is a requirement. 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 53. And blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. We know what it's like to hunger and thirst in this mortal body. I have been blessed. Most of us have been very blessed. We don't know what it's like to go hungry. I can tell you, in other places of the world, a lot of people know hunger. And we have people in this country, homeless people, that go hungry. Because they don't have enough. They don't have enough food. I have never been in that situation. But at times, I have been hungry. And I've been thirsty. Out in the desert or whatever. I have been. And what do we have? We have that great desire, don't we? You know, I it's funny, you know, I like ice water or ice. A lot of the world doesn't have ice, you know. They don't use ice. I don't know why, but I want, when I have a cold drink, I want it iced down. It's got to be that cold. But I can tell you, I have had a few times when I've been out in the desert and stuff, when that hot water in that canteen just tasted wonderful. We know what it's like to hunger and thirst in this mortal body. Spiritually, we're supposed to have that same strong desire to live a righteous life. You know, see, the Lord gave us an example. These examples we can understand clearly in our life to hunger and thirst. We're to do that for righteousness. And if we do that, we're going to live a moral, an upright, and a virtuous life. And see this scripture, it's just such a small scripture. And it says, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. If we do this, the Holy Ghost is going to be there. The Lord talked about this several times, didn't we? If we do these things, we will have the Holy Ghost in our lives, which is so important to have it leading and guiding us through life. To keep us on the straight path, to warn us of the forbidden paths. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine before men, that they see your good works, that they see that you are striving to serve the Lord. And you know, we are not like the Pharisees. We are not a light to hold ourselves up or to be seen by men, but to glorify God. That is why we are light unto the world, to glorify God. And if we are that light into the world, we are going to serve others. We are going to help those in need. We're going to put others first. We're going to be a good example in church, out of church. We're going to pay our tithing. We're going to attend church regularly. That's being a light unto the world. It's important in our life outside of this building to be a light. To be kind to others. They can see it. We need to show them that we are serving the Lord. That is our desire. To glorify His name. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Run the race that is set before us. We all have a different race. We all have different duties. We're all important to the Lord. We all have something to do for the Lord. We all have different trials, tribulations, sickness, whatever it might be. Nobody else can run our race. I can't run yours. You can't run mine. We all have our own race. We're to run that race with patience to the finish line. We've got to make it to the finish line. 3 Nephi chapter 7, verse 10. Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. We must be a doer of the word. We've talked about many things, requirements that God has given us if we want to spend that eternal life with him. Things that we must do. We can never get weary. Don't get discouraged. The world can be very discouraging today. The Lord has promised to be with us. He's promised to be with the righteous. But we must remain diligent. And we must endure to the end. And if we do, we will have that eternal life. I thank you for your time today.